Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. We are officially back for good. We will be here every single race week until the end of the season. So do not worry, okay? We have Barcelona to talk about. Quite an interesting race. There's a little bit to dive into. Ignore the sniffles, the red eyes. I have hay fever. It is that time of the year. Do you?
Yeah.
You don't look like it.
Oh, my eyes are proper sore right now.
Oh, they're nasty, aren't they?
Yeah.
So if anyone has hay fever, how do you get rid of it? Tablets do not work. Nasal sprays don't work. Eye drops, they don't work. I don't know what to do, but we won't talk about hay fever. If you're new here, thank you very much. Make sure you subscribe, comment, like. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please make sure you give us 5 stars. It really does make a big difference. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Just search Racecast. We'll come up. You'll recognize us, hopefully. And we're going to crack on now.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. So, yeah, as Luke said, we're going to preview or review Barcelona. Before I get into talking about Barcelona, I want to touch on something because I messaged you this yesterday about, are we in a better era of Formula One? And I thought about it. You know, we had a quite good discussion. And actually, I'd agree with you. I think we are in a better era of F1. However,
I think Matt is a typical Mercedes fan.
No, don't give me that. All right.
If Lewis Hamilton was in Max Verstappen's position, you'd be like, this is amazing.
No.
100%.
I genuinely wouldn't.
And you'd be like, haha, they changed the regs and Mercedes are still the best.
No, I actually wouldn't. Because we discussed this before. I don't like to see one dominant car. You go back to 2021, okay? You had a great battle between two extraordinary teams, two fantastic drivers, team principals, and it was great. However,
I do just want to jump in there and just say the issue is we had such a good final season with the old regs.
That is the issue. With it now, and we wanted closer racing, we wanted more overtaking, granted, and we've got that. The issue is, and what's shown again yesterday and in Monaco, well, not necessarily Monaco, but what you saw yesterday is you're getting more overtaken, you're getting better battles, but realistically, mid-grid. Yeah,
but what I will say, right, is Max Verstappen drove the wheels off that car, right? Sergio Perez could not go from P11 to P2.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen Max go from
P10 back in...
I'm pretty sure... I swear he started further down at one point.
Yeah.
And he won the race. Miami, where did he start? He didn't get into Q3 in Miami, did he?
No.
Perez could not get past the two Mercedes. Okay, they've had an upgrade. But if the upgrade was that good, why weren't they closing in on Max? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is, and it goes back to the Lewis Hamilton thing. Yeah, okay, that Mercedes was the fastest car.
Yeah.
You still had Lewis driving the wheels off it. Now, if you had two Perezes in that team, I'm not 100% certain Red Bull would have won every race this season.
No, I'd agree with you on that one. Yeah, Max is the difference in all of this. Same as Lewis was back in the Mercedes era. What I'm saying is, I think from a fan's point of view, and you look on Twitter after the race yesterday, people are going, well, that's pretty boring, pretty predictable. And it is predictable because you've got such a phenomenal driver in Max Verstappen who, no matter what is thrown at him, he just deals with it like a pro. The difference is, from a fan point of view, and going back to what you're saying about Lewis Hamilton, no, it's not even about Lewis Hamilton. And if it was in the position, I would say that... Yeah, stop winking at the camera. I would say the exact same. We wanted a better battle. And you look at the beginning of last season when these new regulations came in, you were thinking, okay, we've got Leclerc here, we've got Max. That soon changed for many reasons. But Red Bull have won every race so far this season. 8 races in, they've won every race. Max Verstappen hasn't finished below P2. Granted, fair play to him because he's phenomenal. And great, we're getting closer racing, we're getting more overtaking. But wouldn't you want a championship battle rather than overtaking back down in like P10, 11, 12?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And that's why, like, 2021 blessed us.
100%. Like,
what a season. And then I think, you know, we went into 2022, even as Mercedes fans, pretty optimistic because we were like, okay, the Mercedes is fucked. But we are going to get a battle between Leclerc and Verstappen. So, like, we can live with that. At least the season's going to be entertaining. And, yeah, that did soon change. I think, yeah, that's the... 2021 set us up for failure because it's almost like, man, I wonder what 2022 would have been like had the regs not changed. Even now into 2023, like, it would have been...
Granted, if you hadn't had the 2021 season, in theory, we shouldn't have anyway, because the regulation should have been in 2021 because of COVID. So
if we went from 2020 to 2022,
you wouldn't have thought anything about it.
People would just be like, oh, well.
At least you got better overtaken. You've got better overtaken. Yeah. You've got another different team.
And now it's just Red Bull are the fastest team.
And I want to emphasize here, I'm not saying this because I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan and Lewis Hamilton was in there in 2021. What I mean is I was much more invested in a proper championship battle than I am in, oh, you know, Tsunoda's just overtaken Zhou or whatever.
In fairness, we said that on here, like, I could live with the other cars slowly closing the gap to Red Bull. So long as in the meantime, Perez is taking it to Max. And if they're having a title battle, I can live with that. I just need something.
I need something. And that's what I want to see. I want to see that championship battle. And like you say, whether that's Perez and Max going at it, whether that's, you know, Leclerc and Sainz, I just feel, you know, what was it yesterday? 20 something seconds?
Like 21 seconds or something.
And, you know, again, fair play to Max Verstappen. I take nothing away from him, you know. Phenomenal drive. He controlled it perfectly. And I'm not being funny. He got told to slow down because he was on track limits. And he still went and smashed the fastest lap on older tyres than what Perez was on.
So Perez set on a fresh soft.
Yeah, it's just mad. That guy is on a different level. And,
you know, I read, like, apparently, because he was asked, like, were the team annoyed with you that they said, like, just bring it home now and then you went and set the fastest lap? And he said, like, well, the thing is that the team don't know how fast I can go. Like, they don't know how much pace is in the car.
Yeah.
So he was like, when I heard the lap time, he was like, I knew I could beat it.
and the worrying thing is, the scary thing is, he probably had another 2 tenths in that car per lap.
Yeah, he probably
Probably more in it. And that's the scary thing, what this Red Bull is.
I actually have quite a good stat about Red Bull.
Yeah.
Right? So this is comparing, obviously, throughout the years, there's been dominant cars.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you know, in terms of laps led across the season, now obviously this is asterisked at the moment because the season isn't finished, but all the other results are from, like, full seasons. What is the most dominant car in F1?
I'd probably say this Red Bull.
It's very close.
Because you've got the Ferrari of Schumacher, but
from what season? So, like, this is specifically seasons.
I honestly couldn't tell you because he was dominant for a long period of time. But are you looking at, like, the
1988 Ayrton Senna's McLaren?
Really?
Well, not him, but the McLaren probably was a lot of them were him, but McLaren led 97.3% of all the laps across that season. Now, the second most dominant car, obviously, yeah, we're not at the end of the season. So far, it is the Red Bull from 2023, which led 96, or has currently led 96.2% of all the laps this season.
Because I've seen that. I think isn't it something like 14 laps other cars have led this year? The rest has been a Red Bull.
Now, we talk about the 2014 Mercedes.
Yeah.
That, across the season, I say only, compared to the Red Bull, it's a lot less. 86.2%.
Which in any other season you would go, that's phenomenal.
But, like, yeah, that's the thing. So this Red Bull is 10%. It's operating at 10% more capacity than that Mercedes that we're all like, wow.
I honestly can't see a part, you know, whether they, if you get a mechanical failure or whatever, I cannot see any other car winning this year. I would not surprise me Red Bull winning every race this year.
Yeah. That is
mad. Just finishing on what I was talking about earlier, guys, get in touch. What do you think? Do you wish we had more of a championship battle, or are you happy with how things are going in the sense of we're seeing more overtaking, we're seeing, you know, closer racing? Let me know what your thoughts are, because me personally, give me a championship battle all day long, whether it's as Perez, Max fighting, whether it's Lewis and Max fighting.
We all know that we like Lewis and Max. So yeah. We like that battle. Everyone likes that battle because they are the two best drivers on the grid.
Yeah.
You know, Lewis is the, you know, he's the guy.
Yeah.
Max is the new guy. I know he's not a new guy, but I mean it like, you know, we've gone from sort of Schumacher to Seb to Lewis and now like Max. So we still got that opportunity to see that battle because we didn't get that for, you didn't have, I know you had Alonso come in, he won like the two seasons in the Renault, but it's two years. We didn't see Schumacher against Seb. We got Lewis and Seb, but obviously it was in a different context and the car wasn't always there and Seb didn't seem the same. But then we did have Lewis at his peak, Max seemingly at his peak, up against each other, and it did provide like the best season.
Yeah, it's fun. I was so invested in that season.
Like, and Lewis is still at his peak. Like we can still get this
weekend.
Battle.
He showed that this weekend. I tell you what, I would love to see a championship battle. Okay, Max, Lewis, Alonso.
Oh yeah, that would.
Can you imagine like three of the greats?
That would get feisty. I know they're Lewis and Max seemed very friendly on
the
podium.
They did on the podium, yeah.
Lewis and Fernando have one of the weirdest relationships. Yeah. I can't work out whether they're just consistently passively aggressive with each other or they do actually like each other and they just sort of wind each other up. Obviously, mainly it's Fernando saying stuff to sort of get the headlines against Lewis, but it is funny.
I just think, you know, Lewis knows where he is. You know, he's smart enough to know, hang on, he's not competitive at the moment in the sense of they don't have a competitive car. Give him a competitive car. They won't be nicey nice. Like it will go back. But let us know what you thought. Let me know what you think. You know, I would love to see that three-way title battle. Alonso, Max, Lewis. I think that would be phenomenal. Who do you think would win the title? If they're all in competitive cars and they're all, you know, challenging, who would win out of that three? Because all I know is it would be a fantastic season.
That would be
I'd be heavily, heavily invested.
Because that is one thing like we actually haven't had for a long, long time. Is like
it's three-way battle.
Yeah, like more than two people. Yeah. You know, we had...
That's what it means by a three-way battle. More than two.
What if there's four people?
Four-way battle.
Exactly. So just more than two. It's not the sharpest one in the toolbox, this one. But, you know, since probably 2011, 2012, that sort of time.
Yeah, I don't think we've had a proper... I don't think we've had a proper, like...
Because we've had some good title battles. Mainly when Nico was still at Mercedes.
Yeah.
Bottas didn't really fit the bill. And then we've obviously had Max and Lewis, and that was a two-way, which is great, but I think it would be cool, like, with more people in it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Shall we get on to qualifying? Let's delve into the...
What, Barcelona?
Into Barcelona. So I was away at the time, so I was in and out. I was walking around a shopping centre and my Sky Go was just dropping out every like 5 minutes. So you'll have to catch me up on this, but I watched the highlights. Q1, I don't think anyone expected Charles Leclerc to be eliminated. But
I don't know what was going on with that car. So in FP1, he was P8. I was a bit like, ooh, like it seems off. And like the Alpines were up there. Then FP2, it's P6. And then even like FP3, P7. It's a little bit off, but
You expected enough to get into
Q3. Because the issue was he had something wrong with his car, and they hadn't got... As far as I'm aware, still to this point, they don't know what was wrong with it. They changed everything in
the
car.
What I don't understand with this, okay, so they changed the rear wing, okay, of the car. So they didn't know what was wrong
with
it.
That wasn't all that... They changed...
So the new upgrades came to this car this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They had issues. They couldn't work out what it was. So their first thing was like, it could be the rear wing, so let's just change the rear wing. Why are you changing stuff if you don't know what the issue is? It's like me going into like Quick Fit and them going, I think there's an issue somewhere. And they go, all right, we're going to change tires or your engine. Like, okay, what's the actual issue? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, like they're just speculating.
It just baffled me.
It's like having a leak and they just come in and change the carpet. It's just like that team really,
I don't get
really
it.
Surprises me every week.
Yeah.
Because you know we had, I don't know where he got this from, but Fred Vasseur said, and I quote, "Ferrari made a step forward in terms of potential in Spain." You had a driver out in Q3 with an apparent issue that didn't seem to affect him in FP3. So I don't know why it suddenly turned up in qualifying. You then had no idea what the issue was. Then got him out on the racetrack. Started him on hards, I believe. And then brought him in after like 17 laps.
So, no, this was interesting. Okay, so I had the same thought process as you. And I think I put it in our group chat. I was like, this guy is on hards. And they're pitting him on like lap 17 or something. Mm. Listening to Charles Leclerc post-race, he was very much that he just had no grip. It was very slippery on those hards. Performance was really poor. So I think they had no choice but to get him off those. Obviously, when they went on to softs, the balance felt a bit better.
Yeah.
But he said, being on those hards, he said it was just a nightmare. He said he couldn't work out what. He then got asked the question, is it, you know, with these upgrades coming in, it's going to get worse before it gets better? His response was, well, it can't really get much worse, can it?
It can't get worse. He was out in Q3, like...
Q1.
Q1, sorry, yeah. It's, it was a terrible weekend for Ferrari. And they've so obviously taken a step back that even now Mercedes are ahead of them. Like, I think quite comfortably, we've seen race pace terms, not even with these upgrades, like before, the Mercedes is a better race car.
It's a more reliable race car.
It seems to be able to go round the 50, 60 laps at a quicker pace than that Ferrari is able to.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they're able to pull the times out over one lap in that Ferrari. But it just does not race well. And I know obviously the speculation is that it's to do with like keeping the tires in the window and stuff like that. But I don't understand how he can look at that weekend and be like, that was a real step forward. Because it wasn't, to be honest. And you brought upgrades that, well, you could argue have made the car look worse.
Mm. We said this, didn't we, in our pre-season preview of Fred Vasseur is under a lot of pressure.
Oh, yeah.
He's obviously gone into this season with some big names leaving, engineer-wise. He's come from, you know, an Alfa Romeo. He's come into such a iconic team like Ferrari.
This is the most high pressure job in all of Formula One, along with being a Ferrari driver.
And actually, I would say, well, they are worse off than they were under Bonotto this time last year.
Oh, obviously, well, yeah. 100%.
Well, even towards the end of the season, they're in a worse position. You've got two drivers who look like they have a lot of pressure on them. They look like they're not delivering. But you've got Carlos Sainz, who's getting more and more heated as the season goes on.
He's getting agitated on that radio. And did you hear him in the race?
No.
Where, like, to be fair, he wasn't agitated, but they were talking about pace, and he was like, the pace is good, like, relax, basically.
Yeah.
And then, like, he had Lewis closing in on him quick, and it got to the point where, like, they had to pit him because Lewis was going to overtake him.
It was
like
half a second, but, like, yeah, that's right, yeah.
It was just, Lewis was just chipping away at it, and they said, like, you need to pick up the pace.
Yeah.
And he's like, relax, pace is good. No.
It just worries me. I say it worries me. And I find it sad because you've gone from this time last year talking about Ferrari being title contenders to them being lucky if they will finish at P4, really.
Yeah, because at this rate, that Alpine
is going to start picking up.
They're starting to find some good pace. So, you know, Gasly was, he wasn't unlucky. He deserved the penalties, the two penalties that we'll talk about. But without those, the weekend could have been even worse for Ferrari.
I think Ferrari will pick it up, but at what cost and where they will be by the time they actually do pick it up. Obviously, you know, Barcelona is a very different track to anything else on the calendar. It's a very good testing track, and this is where certain, you know, cars do well. You look at Mercedes this weekend, had a very solid weekend. They look good in practice. You then head into qualifying.
They didn't look good in all of practice.
Didn't look good, no, in certain aspects of it. What was he? He was P1 in P1, wasn't he? He was P1.
Yeah, in FP3, Lewis was third, but FP1, 10th and 12th, FP2, 8th and 11th.
Okay, let me rephrase this then. So the Mercedes going into this weekend, you had a lot of hope because obviously they brought a lot of upgrades. They showed certain aspects, certain pockets where they look quite quick. You're heading to qualifying, Q1, Hamilton is P1, I believe.
Q1, Lewis was P1.
Yes. So we got a bit of hope. We were like, okay, fine. Ferrari going out in Q1, you're kind of, okay, this is a bit weird. Heading into Q2, George just couldn't quite get it, could he?
Yeah, George... He struggled. George definitely struggled, but we saw that at Monaco, I think, a little bit, where he looked like he was struggling with the new car. He obviously turned it around in the race, but he did struggle in qualifying.
Yeah. Obviously, he went out in Q2, head into Q3.
Perez also went out in Q2. What the hell? Like, there's no other, like, how?
I take back what I said about him being a potential title candidate, because, I mean, you showed this weekend, he is nowhere near Max Verstappen. He is in a Red Bull, which in theory should be finishing P2 every race, minimum P2 every race. He started, what, P11?
Was it P11. P11. He was 0.3 off Piastri, who was P10.
Yeah. That's mad.
Against that McLaren as well.
I always think, and I know we can sometimes be quite harsh in the sense of, okay, you're a professional driver, you shouldn't be making these mistakes. And you are in a high-pressured situation. You're driving these cars at a ridiculous speed. But these are meant to be the best drivers in the world, and that's why you're there. He's at a top team with Red Bull. And actually, he has a car which is the same as Max Verstappen's, and he should be as quick. Well, not as quick, but he should be
at least getting those P2.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, incidents happen in the race. He can't be going out in Q2 in that car.
There's no...
Unless something happens, you know, for whatever reason, as some sort of like...
Like he crashed in Monaco, like, fine, okay.
These things happen. Like, so long as they're not happening too often. Yeah. But this was literally a pace issue.
Yeah. There's... It's interesting, isn't it? Because Sergio Perez has now gone from being two races ago a title contender to now going, if he continues like this, he may not even be in a Red Bull seat come the end of the season.
Yeah.
And it shows you in F1 how quick that can turn. And the issue is, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with the fact that Sergio Perez is given the best car, one of the best cars F1 has seen in years. Okay.
One of the best cars ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. And you're not performing. There's no excuses. There's no excuse to go out in Q2. There's no excuse that he shouldn't have finished on the podium yesterday. You know, there's no excuses anymore. And you're at a point where Perez has, over the season since he's been with Red Bull, pockets of really good races, and that's what saves him. You know, they're like, okay, yeah, he's still got it. He comes back in. And this year, he had a good couple of races, you know, where he picked up those wins. And he's just, it's like he's fumbled. And it's sad to see because I like him. And I'm more disappointed because I was so hopeful we were going to get a title battle this year, a championship battle between Perez and Max, and he's fumbled it again.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard to recover now because I just can't see Max making the mistakes.
He's like 50-something points already behind him.
Yeah, so I mean, realistically, he needs Max to like DNF twice and he needs to win the race.
Yeah. And his performances at the moment, I can't see that happening. He may turn it around and towards the end of the season, he might pick up those P2s, P3s again. But it's not good enough for that type of car to not be finishing on the podium yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. It was a very poor weekend for Sergio Perez. We obviously then went into Q3.
Yep.
Where we had Verstappen. Verstappen qualified 5/10 ahead of P2, which was Carlos Sainz.
It could have gone either way. It was so close.
That just, it says it all, doesn't it?
He got out and walked to the third sector.
That is incredible. It was 1.1 second up on Sergio Perez's time.
It's just ridiculous.
So Lando Norris pulls P3 out of nowhere.
Yeah, where did that come from?
That was a pretty incredible lap.
Yeah.
Gasly, we spoke about this.
The Alpine is looking good.
Do you know what? Actually, Otmar Szafnár nailed it. Said prior to this weekend that we fully expect to be ahead of the Mercedes and the Ferraris this weekend. I'm not going to mock him.
They were correct about the Ferraris.
It didn't quite happen. But Alpine, they're one to watch at the moment, I think. They are moving in the right direction. They got a bit of stick at the start of the season, probably from us as well. Otmar got it in the neck from the big boy at Alpine.
Yep.
But it shows they're on the right track. They are making gains. You know, Gasly able to get P4 and Ocon getting P7. I mean, that's the sort of region they really want to be in, because they can, with the way Ferrari are going, they can get that fourth spot. Yeah. If they keep making these, chipping away with the upgrades, making these progress, this little bit of progress, I think Alpine are a good team. I wonder if Oscar Piastri is regretting not going there or not staying there.
I mean, if you're looking at form, I'd be saying yes. Shout out to Sainz. Because, I mean,
we talk about
Max, how bad Leclerc was.
Yeah, we talk about Max being 1.1 second quicker. Carlos Sainz was 1.3 seconds quicker than Charles Leclerc.
Mad.
Which, you know.
But, you know, he had a very decent qualifying in his home race this weekend. Obviously, I think everyone was expecting Lewis to get P2. He had a reasonably good, you know, in the final round, the pace looked all right.
Yeah,
in sector one, sector two, and sector three was just...
Lewis was... That qualifying was disappointing as a Lewis fan. I was sitting there and I was like, P5? I was like, what the fuck, mate? You've gone from like P1 to... I don't know where he was for... Was it like P1, P4, and then P5? Like, you're behind Norris and Gasly. I was like... I'm sure he'll overtake them.
But sector three was really poor, wasn't it? He had his rear went.
The first weekend as well that Stroll out-qualified Alonso.
Yeah.
Stroll was P6, Alonso P9.
We'll get on to Stroll and Alonso later because I've got...
Yeah, we've got some things to say about them.
It makes me laugh.
Hülkenberg?
Yeah, he finished what, P9?
P8. What? Yeah. The Haas confuses me as well. The thing is, right, and I think Christian Horner said this. He said it's so unpredictable behind us. We know Red Bull are going to finish first. But what goes on behind them is confusing as fuck. Qualifying is one of the weirdest things.
If you look at Monaco last week, it was just like, I have no idea what's going on.
We've had so many close qualies this year. And I think, like, that Haas, like Hülkenberg, I don't think he'd be able to finish P8 in the race.
No.
But
over a lap.
Yeah, we're seeing these like instances over a lap where cars are showing like ridiculous pace. I don't understand it. It might be to do with the regulations and how cars are designed, you know, like we see the Mercedes not necessarily so quick over one lap. Yeah. Race pace, it's a good car.
But even last year, their race pace was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For some reason. Yeah, no, I agree. The start of the race.
Controversial, to say the least.
So down into turn one, Max and Sainz had a good start. He was, you know, they were neck and neck heading down into turn one. Max squeezed him off a bit. Not squeezed him off, but, you know, yeah.
Max kind of ran him off.
Yeah.
Max pulled a typical Max move that, had it have been done to him, I'm sure the two of them would have just come together.
Yeah.
Sainz,
which would have been great, because
Sainz yielded but didn't take the escape road. This then led to Lewis having to
back off a bit,
dart out the way, and then as Lando went for the move, Lewis had to move and they touched. That was a racing incident.
Yeah, I mean,
it was unfortunate for Lando, really.
It was. I don't quite know, because placing it, I still don't understand why he was never, you could see Lewis was coming in, but you could never see Lando was going to get through. There was enough gap to get through.
I don't know. I kind of think there was.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I
understood why Lando did it. He obviously is not going to anticipate that Lewis is going to randomly move across.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't make any sense for like Lewis to then change the position of his car.
Yeah.
And he only moved because of the incident between Sainz and Verstappen. But there was a similar incident later on in the race, which we'll touch on, and we will draw a few comparisons, because one of them ended up with a penalty, the other didn't.
Which one was that?
We'll get onto it.
So yeah, unfortunate, really unfortunate for Lando Norris that he ended up pitting. He had damage to his front wing.
Yeah, he had to get a new front wing. He had a 17-second pit stop on lap one.
Yeah, and his race was pretty screwed, finishing P17 in the end. Yeah. On a whole, the Ferrari pace just went off. After that, Max was quite comfortable leading. He went off a bit. But
Lewis had to get past Stroll then, didn't he? He stuck behind Stroll for a little bit, and then he had to try and close the gap to,
which he did relatively quick. And then he hunted down. Again, we touched on the Ferrari strategy. I don't quite get it. I understand it more now from the Leclerc point of view with regards to their tyres. Obviously, if they're working and you're losing pace, it makes more sense just to come in, get rid of those hards. I get it. Carlos Sainz,
I think he was trying to cover the undercut.
Yeah, the undercut was strong.
It was strong.
Very strong this weekend. You look at, was it George? He did it on Lewis, didn't he? He came out and he was literally, it was 10 seconds at one point. He came out and he was like five seconds behind.
Yeah. We should also, George Russell's start was
mega.
Very good. I will say, there was a very tactical runoff from George.
Yeah.
Down into, well, it came off at turn two. At the end of the day, that to me shows that he's read the rules very clearly or very closely. Because obviously you are meant to run off there. I don't actually think he gained from it, but I think he prevented himself from losing by doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because he had already gained all those positions, but it was a very tactical move to go off the track and down the escape road.
Phenomenal drive from him.
Oh, yeah. He had a great day.
I mean, especially as he struggled early on in the, you know, in qualifying that, you know, to come home on a podium is phenomenal for Mercedes. Just want to touch on Mercedes quickly. They had a very solid race. Lewis seemed in control. No one seemed, once he got past Sainz, pit stops were good.
P2 was always safe for him.
I still don't quite get Mercedes pit stops, because they're still roughly around the 3 second mark.
Yeah, they are consistently 3 seconds.
Yeah. You look at, you know, things like Red Bull, they're like 2.3. 2.4.
Yeah, 2.4 is a slow stop for Red Bull.
Yeah.
I think, like, I'm expecting to see 2.1, 2.2.
Alpine this weekend, they did a 2.5, I think it was. So they're relatively quick. But Mercedes, they come in at like 3.4, something like that. Still doesn't make any sense to me. Surely just, I suppose, work on that.
Practice.
They looked very good this weekend. As you said, the race pace was very strong. my concern is, and I know you were very excited about the upgrades, and actually, fair play to your predictions, you got 2 out of 3, so well done to you.
Kind of. I got.
Well, you got two of the drivers.
So I said, for those of you that don't remember, that it was going to be Max, Perez, and Lewis.
You did well. You did well. Fair play to you. What do you feel about this? Are they back? Because my gut feeling is, you know, there's a lot of people who are very excited yesterday. Oh, Mercedes are back. This is brilliant. Now we're going to really start getting them back in the championship battle. I'm very conservative with this in the sense of we saw this last year. Mercedes were very strong at Barcelona. Granted, Lewis had his incident in lap one, but he had a very strong race, came back, finished coming like P4, P5 last year. I can't quite remember.
He ended P5 because he gave the position back to Sainz because he had to lift and coast, basically. Yeah.
So, and they had upgrades last year. So they were strong last year. And then they went to Canada and they were pretty poor. And then the rest is history from last year. So as a Mercedes fan, are they back? Or are you a bit like, actually, come Canada, we could just see exactly like last year?
I am not getting excited just yet.
Yeah.
But I think the concept of the car looks more conventional.
Yeah.
To the point where I think maybe it is more understandable. The general consensus that you get from like, hearing from like Andrew Shovlin or Toto or just forgotten his name. But the general consensus is like, we know what we're doing now. We know what the next step is. It's not so much like, yeah, we kind of don't know why the track works, why the car works one track and then doesn't work at another. Obviously, we are yet to see it, but it was more impressive at Monaco than we've seen. It was obviously impressive at Barcelona. Canada will be quite telling. And then we go to Silverstone, where it was good last year as well.
Yeah.
But
can we just say, well, even before the upgrades, Lewis was on the podium, wasn't he? P2 earlier in the year, Australia?
Yeah.
So that was even before the upgrades and the change.
I do think the car was better than... Remember, this time last year, Mercedes had the porpoising, which was absolutely killing the performance.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't have any of that, but the car did look a bit unstable this year. It does look a lot more stable. Mm. It still doesn't look perfect to drive. Like, you see that Red Bull and it's like, bang, turns the steering wheel, oh, there it goes perfectly.
Yeah.
It still doesn't look like that, but it's a long way to go, you know. Chances are, when Mercedes are not going to be back, quote-unquote, until next year.
Yeah, well, they've already said, and it kind of irritates me, oh yeah, we're building the car for next year so we can really challenge.
It's like, why didn't you fucking do that last year?
Yeah, exactly. Why do we have to wait another season for you to then start to compete?
Why did we need the car to be shit at Bahrain for you to then be like, we got it wrong? Yeah, and now you've just wasted, what, like $100 million on this new car?
Oh, shit, lads. Yeah, we should have put the other one on. Like, fucking, why?
Oh, we've got a B-spec in the works. But just, why wouldn't you just do that in the first place?
It's interesting because, from as we said, Mercedes fans, we're happy that they look good this weekend and let's hope they're back in it.
Honestly, I just want another war between Verstappen and Lewis.
That's a war.
That's I haven't felt those emotions since 2021. Like, nothing has come close. So give us another war.
From the other aspect, it was disappointing to see Aston Martin go a bit backwards this weekend. Hopefully it's just a race, one of those off races. Especially how good they've been.
Do you want a hot take?
Oh, go on then.
Fernando Alonso has said, we have upgrades coming to Canada and we are going to crush the opponents. not Red Bull. He meant like the others.
Yeah. I'm expecting Aston Martin to come back really strong.
Yeah, I do think.
I think it's just a one-off.
Apparently Fernando had floor damage.
He did in qualifying, I think it was.
Oh.
So apparently in qualifying he had floor damage.
So what happened during the race? He wasn't quick in the race.
He wasn't quick.
George dispatched him fairly quickly.
He said it just wasn't wasn't their day. But you look at Stroll. He didn't have floor damage, and granted, we have our opinions on Stroll. But
First time he's outqualified Fernando. First time he's beaten him in a race.
Okay, let's talk about this beaten in race. Okay, because
Fernando, blink twice if you're in trouble. Does Lawrence Stroll have something on you that we don't know?
Because
we want to help.
The interesting thing is answer me this. What's more embarrassing, okay? Going ahead of your team, beating your teammate and nothing being said, and you're like, oh yeah, okay. But people thinking, oh, do you know what? Alonso could probably have got past him, but there's nothing said by anyone, and you're kind of like, yeah, I'll beat Alonso, all of this, great. Or is it more embarrassing that your teammate comes over the radio and goes, just tell Stroll I'm not going to attack him, and then come on the post-race interviews and go, yeah, well, I was about, you know, couple tenths quicker than him, so I could have overtaken him, but actually it's for 6th and 7th, so I didn't want to overtake him.
Who is this Fernando Alonso? Has he been replicated by the government?
But don't you find that embarrassing? If you're Lance Stroll and you're thinking, all right, I'll beat my teammate.
But he must know. He knows but Fernando regardless, is quicker than him.
If your teammate has come out, because somebody asked him in an interview and said, oh, you know, Alonso has said that he could have overtaken you if he wanted to. How do you think? And he's like, well, we got 6th and 7th. Yeah, but, you know, was it? He said, well, it's 6th and 7th. It doesn't really matter. It's like we're fighting for P1 or 2, is it?
Well, and that is kind of true. I think I'm just confused. Like, who? This is not Fernando Alonso. Who is this?
Yeah, I think Alonso.
I kind of agree. Like, I think it's good team play. Like, what is the point? Like,
yeah, but isn't it embarrassing for Stroll? Stroll hasn't had he hasn't been great this year, and Alonso has wiped the floor with him. So you're coming over and you're going to, hi, Lawrence, just want you to know, love the work you're doing. Big fan of yourself. Love the Silver Fox. Think he looks great. I'm not going to overtake your son, could. No, do you know what I mean? He's like, you know, he's like basically.
I'll take that top off, Lawrence.
What are you wearing? No, it's like, but do you know what I mean? It's, I don't get it. It's like, you're basically coming over the radio and just saying to Lawrence Stroll, look, if I wanted to, I could take your son, but I'm going to be nice and actually, you know, give it.
Yeah, but I'm sure that's probably not like the connotations behind it. I think he probably was just saying, like, I'm not going to try and overtake him. But yeah, obviously, like, it's not looking good for Stroll, is it? But at the same time, it is, because his dad owns the team, so it doesn't fucking matter where he finishes. So it's kind of like, so, like,
I don't know. I just, if that was me and I was Stroll, one, I'd be pretty delighted because I'd be minted. And I'd never have to work a day in my life again because I just...
Even though he is. He is working, though.
Well, he is, but you didn't have to. If you didn't, you
wouldn't have to.
But you've got this driver who's basically going to everyone around the world. I could have still, you know, wiped the floor with him if I wanted to, but I'm just going to let him just beat me. So when it comes to the head-to-heads, when we talk about them later on in the season and we go, oh, do you remember when Lance Stroll, that one time that Lance Stroll finished ahead of Alonso?
It's going to end like, what, 23-1 or something, yeah.
I don't know. I just think if you're... Yes, he's coming across as a team player, but he's still cementing that actually,
yeah,
if I wanted to.
I think that goes without saying anyway, doesn't it?
No.
We knew that. But I'm just more confused, like,
who is he?
Yeah, like, who is this guy?
I think he knows what this car can do. You know, he knows what Mike Crack is doing.
What is it doing?
I can never say that name, and Luke is serious with it.
How can anyone... What were his parents thinking?
I watched an interview with him on, was it Channel 4, with Mark Webber. So this hotel I was staying in didn't have Sky. It just had, like... the highlights of the qualifying with
like Channel 4 or whatever, yeah.
Mike Crack was on there, and he's a nice man. He's a cool little guy.
Just because he's got a dodgy name.
No, I'm just saying that. But he just seemed nice. But
they never say his full name. Have you noticed that? Like, sometimes, like, if they do an interview with Toto, they'll be like, Toto Wolf, everybody.
Yeah.
Never mind.
He's Mike. Yeah, it's Mike. I think Alonso knows he's in a good position. He knows that actually this Aston Martin has something special. So I think for the first time in a long time, he's got a potential, and I'm not saying it is, championship winning car over the next couple of years. Yeah. So he knows he to deliver, he has to work well with Stroll.
Yeah, yeah. No, he does. But I'm just, I get it.
Okay. It's weird to see him
sixth
like
or seventh. Like, yeah, it's not worth fighting. But like, if he's just obviously quicker, like, just overtake him. Like, has he got like? Oh, unless there's like a, like he's got a little bonus clause in his contract every time Stroll finishes ahead of him, 50k. I reckon that's it. I didn't think of that until now.
Oh, I don't know. Let us know what your thoughts are. If you're Lance Stroll, I say you've got to be concerned, but you haven't really, have you? Because it's your dad's company, so you're safe regardless. But
and look, at the end of the day, if he finished P6, P7, I don't think it was a bad weekend for Stroll, considering the car clearly didn't have the pace here. You know, we're still ahead of Leclerc, ahead of the Alpines. As it goes, what do they say? It was a damage limitation weekend.
Yeah. I'm expecting him to come back strong, though, in Canada, so I'm not too concerned by that.
100%. And they'll be good round Silverstone, I'm sure.
Every week we're discussing this. Tsunoda. This guy,
seen the pictures of him from after the race?
No.
Oh, he looks devastated.
I'm feeling really sorry for this guy because he's consistently pushing that AlphaTauri, don't get me wrong, to like P9s, P8, P9s, and... But he's so close to getting these points, and then something happens. Like, he got a 5 second penalty for.
So this is what I want to talk about.
Okay,
Max Verstappen runs Carlos Sainz off the track, right?
Allegedly, before Red Bull fans come.
It looked pretty deliberate. Yeah. It's a typical Max move.
Yeah,
and he does get away with them. Like, fair enough. It doesn't really bother me. He's going to win the championship. Whether he gets penalised or not. Do you know what I mean? But Yuki Tsunoda did the same thing, but was just understeering. He might have underbraked a little bit, but like, he didn't run Zhou completely off. I mean, he had full lock.
Fuck on, yeah.
And Zhou had to take the escape road and whatever. Almost instantly, he gets a 5 second penalty. Now, you might argue, oh, but his first lap, it's different, you know. Is it? Like, it's still...
A push-off is a push-off.
Yeah, like, you're still running someone off the track. I don't know. To me, I think Tsunoda probably did deserve the five-second penalty, but so did Max.
There's still a lack of consistency with decision-making on who gets penalties and who doesn't.
Yeah.
And...
This is not a conspiracy either. You can go back and look through like the inconsistencies in the penalties.
Hmm.
Like you'll be like, I swear that's already happened and they weren't given a penalty.
Yeah. These have happened over the years and you see this. But yeah, I don't know. I think Tsunoda, I would say he deserved that 5 second penalty on a whole. And like you say, if it was consistent throughout with what Max did.
Because, like you say, he was on full lock, but chances are he had taken too much speed into the corner.
He went in there, yeah.
And therefore he understeered.
Yeah.
That then pushed Zhou off and, you know, that is what it is.
And that's the disappointing thing is that, you know, Tsunoda up until that point had been very strong. But you've seen a lot of cars changing around that point. You know, around that P8, 9, 10, 11, there was a lot of different... you had Zhou there... Wasn't Hülkenberg there at one point? Or did I make that up?
Yeah.
Hülkenberg, yeah. Into turn one, he was loving it. Some great overtakes by Hülkenberg yesterday.
But the frustrating thing for Tsunoda is, if he had just yielded that spot, that position, he still would have finished in the points.
Yeah.
So...
I think that meant Leclerc got a point, didn't he?
No, he finished P11. Gasly
got a point, that's right, yeah.
But it's one of those things that will come with experience. And I like Yuki Tsunoda. I like his angry messages on the radio. I just think he needs to... He's still gaining experience.
Where does that stop? He's in his third year now, okay? His third year being an F1 driver. When do we stop saying, oh, it'll come with experience? he's meant to be the leader in that team now with Nick DeFries.
Yeah, but
when does that stop?
DeFries isn't a rookie though, is he?
No, no, but this is what I mean. If you're looking at the drivers who you'd say is the leader in that team, you'd go Tsunoda because he's had two years of Formula One experience. Answer me this, you guys who are watching, when does experience not become enough to keep you, give you an F1 seat? For example, Tsunoda.
Like a lack of experience.
Let me rephrase this. So when does a lack of experience lose you a seat in F1?
Because you can look at Sargent, who, say, they were teaching him about tyre management, where it's his first, six or seven races in F1. Whereas if that was happening with Tsunoda, then you'd be like, Jesus.
You look at Mick Schumacher. He was in his second year with Haas.
And he wasn't deemed good enough
because he was still making mistakes, so he lost his seat. Tsunoda is in his third season as an F1 driver, and we're still saying, "Oh, but he, you know, it's all experience. It's all, you know, he's still learning." When does that stop?
The thing is, what I think with Tsunoda is, in my personal opinion, Tsunoda has shown more of his potential than Mick Schumacher ever did.
Yes.
So I look at Tsunoda and I think, actually, you are pretty good. He is pretty good. I like him. And, yeah, there is going to come a time where the lack of experience thing doesn't wash. But he has been a lot better this season in terms of those mistakes. And this, you know, that is some, serious racecraft to be able to think, okay, let's give him this position. Mm. We might get a 5-second penalty. With everything going on, to think of that and then be like, I can still stay ahead of the person behind me. When really you don't know. And I'm just looking at the timings and it looks like he, you know, chances are Gasly wouldn't have got him. So, yeah, it is a serious skill.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's shown throughout this year, considering how poor this AlphaTauri is, that he can pick up points. The difficulty is he is not picking up those points. You look at towards, it seems to be the end of the races that he seems to struggle the most. So the first 70% of the race, he's relatively strong. Well, then it comes to the final part, and that's where he seems to switch off for some reason or make a mistake.
It does seem to lose places in the tail end of races. Yeah. But he's picked up the 2 points that AlphaTauri have this season. So you're going to cut him more slack than you are Nick DeVries. Because I know Nick is his first season in F1. Nick DeVries is not an inexperienced driver. I don't care what people say. He's not.
No,
he's a world champion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel sorry for Yuki.
Because so do I. I like him.
It's almost like he's on the cusp of showing that he might actually one day be good for that Red Bull seat, but he's not showing enough just yet.
It's going to go either way for Yuki, in the sense of he either turns it around and starts turning those, end of the races into points and getting those points, or he'll continue with what he's doing and keep making the mistakes in the tail end of these races and he'll lose his seat, or he'll turn it around and really prove himself that he deserves to be in a better car. He's got a lot of pressure on him. You know, it was okay last year. He had Gasly with him. He could show that he had a bit more time. But regardless of what people say, he is the lead driver in that car. And he needs to start turning those errors into points. Because if he doesn't, I can imagine it's going to be an uncomfortable conversation come the end of the season.
Yeah. And I just want to stress, I don't think he should lose his seat.
I don't think he should, and I don't want him to. I really like him. But like I said, being in the third season of F1 only gets you so far.
And if you don't perform. We know how ruthless Red Bull are.
Yeah.
With drivers, yeah. But I am confident that Yuki Tsunoda will start delivering.
Oh, I hope so. I really hope so.
Because he's currently P16 in the championship. He's level with Kevin Magnussen.
Okay. I mean, there's 20 drivers, but...
Yeah, but if he gets another 4 points, he's now P12.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's close. It's still very early on in the season, but he needs to start picking up the points.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know. And the AlphaTauri, as I said, isn't the greatest car, but it still has the potential there because it is literally the end of the races where he seems to muck up. Yeah. And that is a real concern for them.
Yeah. No, it is because, you know, when you're down the bottom end of the constructors, those singular points actually do mean
a lot.
Make
a difference, yeah. Make a big difference. Just finishing, we covered everything. We missed everything. I feel like we've gone all over.
No retirements, no safety cars in that race.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible, no?
Yeah.
I thought that was...
But saying that, you'd expect more in Monaco and you only had, like, what?
Yeah,
two retirements.
True. Stop driving so safely. Crash.
So, looking at driver standards after the Spanish Grand Prix. So, Max Verstappen is on 170 points. Sergio Perez is P2 with 117 points. Alonso is third.
Just give it to Max now. Give it to Max.
Already. Alonso is third with 99 points. Lewis Hamilton's P2 yesterday put him into P4 with 87 points.
Well, he was already P4.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't know how to word that without saying he's...
It's put him 12 points within touching distance of Alonso, which I'm pretty happy about.
If you're looking at George Russell, he's in fifth with 65 points. Carlos Sainz followed by Charles Leclerc. I mean,
just quickly, the two Mercedes drivers there, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is what we were talking about. Lance Stroll is obviously, what, P8?
P8.
Fernando Alonso, P3. Mercedes are P2 in the constructors.
Yep.
That's how important it is to have two consistent drivers. Now, I stand by the fact Mercedes have the best driver pairing on the grid, hands down.
Yeah.
There is no question about it.
So, this is your constructors. So, Williams are in P10 with 1 point. AlphaTauri...
Did you see the pictures of their floor, by the way?
It's like the flattest thing ever.
Logan Sargeant crashed in, I can't remember what practice session, one of them. And they lifted the car up. Oh my God. If you haven't seen the pictures of the RB19's floor and the W14 from Monaco, firstly, do you not have Twitter or Instagram or something? Go and look at this this Williams floor and compare it to those. It honestly, it looks like a kid... And I don't mean that.
You're lucky it stays to the ground.
Yeah, I don't mean that like in a disrespectful way. But when you compare it to the level of detail on the Mercedes and the Red Bull.
Yeah.
And then it is genuinely like the comparison of like a fine art drawing of like
you wonder
a
car why...
and me drawing one on a piece of A4 paper.
You wonder why. Well, it's pretty evident to see why Williams are struggling this year.
Yeah, well, what was it James Vowles said? They don't have the technology to create it digitally, which, firstly, it's 2023. Williams, I'm sure, are probably not short of cash. I'm not saying they're one of the
I'm
most
sure they have a computer.
Cash-rich teams. But he said, like, I could not believe it. So I think we are going to see movements from them over the next couple of years, but it's going to take time and investment. But the floor, I thought it was a joke. I genuinely thought, like, someone had made it just to, like, take the piss out of them.
Yeah.
But it was actually real.
It's awful, isn't it? You know, earlier on you said Alpine potentially could get P4 ahead of Ferrari. Huh? Well, they are 60 points behind.
That can change.
That can change. So Red Bull...
Charles Leclerc didn't finish in the points this week.
Very true. Red Bull are in P1 with 287 points. Mercedes are now in P2 with 152 points, followed by Aston Martin with 134. Ferrari in P4 with 100.
I'm going to make an early call. Mercedes will get P2 in the constructors this season.
I am...
I think they're going to squabble with Aston Martin over whose car is faster throughout the year. but consistently the Mercedes will be faster than Lance Stroll.
And I think that's the biggest thing.
That's the difference.
George Russell and Lewis Hamilton will consistently pick up the points. Lance Stroll will pick up points, but lower points.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the difference come the end of the season.
Because there will be times where the Mercedes, where Lewis and George do beat Fernando.
Yeah.
But I don't think there'll be many incidents where Lance beats the British boys.
To you guys who are watching, do you think anyone else will win a race this year? Or do you think it will just be Red Bull dominance? Let me know.
Max Verstappen dominance.
Or Max Verstappen dominance.
You know, I gave you a stat on Red Bull.
Yep.
Got one for just Max. Now,
just for men. Just for Max.
Just for Max, yeah. Most laps led in a career.
Yep.
Max Verstappen, after this weekend, overtook who in that list? So he's now sixth.
Most laps led.
Of all time in Formula One.
Sebastian Vettel.
No, he overtook Nigel Mansell.
Ooh.
So Nigel Mansell led 2,089 laps. Max Verstappen has now led 2,143 laps.
Impressive.
Sebastian Vettel, where do you reckon he is on that list?
Third.
Good shout. How many? Max, 2,143 for reference.
2,420.
So there's two drivers in between them, and you reckon there's only...
Okay, yeah. All right, final point. 2,839.
3,501. Quite a big difference, isn't it?
What's Lewis on?
You ready for this? Goat stuff this.
Lewis must be P1.
Lewis is obviously P1. Yeah. It's incredible. 5,447 laps led.
Jeez.
Michael Schumacher in P2, 5,111. And then obviously in between Seb and Max, you've got Senna and Prost.
Well, if Max keeps his way, he's definitely on there for that, isn't he?
I will. I'll be surprised if Max doesn't make that number three spot.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised even if he gets number two spot at some point or P1 spot if he can keep continuing. Lewis, you know, Max Verstappen is on a different level, and he showed that this weekend. And I know I touched on this earlier, but I still can't get over how his team engineer is like, Max, you just gone track limits. And he's like, where? He's like, turn 10. Okay, we've got black and white flag. Max, you know, please just keep it on the track. Don't want to get a penalty. Not that it would have made any difference. He could have probably got 3-4 penalties and he would have still won the race. And then you know when he comes over the radio and he goes, what's the quickest lap? It's a 1:16.3 or something. What are you doing?
1:16.6. I think he set a 16.3.
Oh, did he? And then he was like, what are you doing? 1:17.4 he was doing at the time. And then next thing you see him, he's just like, yeah, fastest lap. He's class. Like, and it pains me to say it because I am a Lewis fan, I am a Mercedes fan, but credit where credit's due, he is just utterly class. He's just phenomenal on all aspects.
I think
his racecraft is just phenomenal.
The only thing that will, you know, affect whether he gets up into that P2 or P1 spot will be how long can Red Bull keep this up?
Yes, and will Mercedes come back at it? Will Aston Martin come back in?
I don't doubt that even if Max had the second fastest car, he would lead some laps.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's right now it's going up at a rate of knots because they're just leading every lap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want him to get P2 or P1 because that is going to signal this domination period.
For years and years.
I'd rather him just creep up slowly along with other people.
Answer me this, because there was a question going around on Twitter the other day. Will Lewis Hamilton win an eighth title?
Yes, 100%.
I can't see it. I honestly can't see it. And the reason why I can't see it is because you got...
Firstly, he already has won his eighth.
Okay. Properly.
He did win it.
Okay. For the record books.
It got properly taken away from him.
Okay. Properly with the record books, with a trophy and that, will he win his eighth title? I'm not convinced because I still think Max will dominate for years to come. Is whoever comes into that second seat in Red Bull, whether that's someone like Lando or Lando or not.
Lewis is quicker. Don't even give me. If Mercedes get him a car that can compete with that Red Bull, he will go toe to toe with Max.
But at this point in time, can we get Mercedes back competing at the level of a Red Bull? I don't know. And if it is, I don't know if that's for another 2 or 3 years. And at that time, is Lewis still going to be as competitive?
Yes. But don't worry about him.
Yeah. Well, you say I sit with tinted glasses on at times. I'm just a bit realistic. I want it more than anything.
Come back to me in 2 years' time. He'll have it.
Okay. I hope you're right. I'd love to see it. I just think Red Bull are going to be that strong for the next couple of years.
You're putting negativity into the world now. I'm going to have to shut this down.
Right, that is it. That is a podcast over. Let me know. Will Lewis Hamilton win an eighth title? Yes or no?
We will be back next week to look ahead to Canada.
I love Canada. One of my favourite races. Have you seen that clip of that steward running back? I think it was when Jenson Button won, when it was pouring down, when the steward ran on the track to get a bit of debris in and fell over.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Every year you just see it circulating around. I love it. It's my favourite clip.
Starts like panicking.
He runs back and he falls over again. I don't know why it's so funny.
Because it's like that thing out of the movies where like, you're like, just run away and they like keep falling over. And like it actually happened.
It's class. But guys, thank you very much for watching. If you are watching, give us a like, subscribe if you're new on YouTube. If you're listening to us on Spotify or any other audio platform, then please leave us a rating. It really does mean a lot to us. So as Luke said, we are back. We're back every week. So check us out, especially on TikTok and Instagram. I've been doing quite a bit. I've done a bit of work this week.
He's been back at it. I cracked the whip.
Yes. So yeah, have a great week and we shall be back next week for a Canadian preview. Bye-bye.